The Obama administration has set a bunch of new performance goals for individual agencies and for cross-agency priorities. Now, they've come out as part of the 2015 budget preparations. Cross-agency goals concern missions such as cybersecurity, insider threats, job creation, STEM education, and then come the overarching goals like open government, customer service, and strategic sourcing. Joining us to assess the chances of success for all of this is Jitender Kohli. He's a director in Deloitte Consulting's public sector practice. Jitender, welcome back.
Good morning.
All right, so this seems like a really long list of goals. Can they get it all done?
So we have about 100 goals that go that the agencies have set for themselves. So there are goals for HUD, such as reducing veterans' homelessness jointly with the VA. We have a goal for the Education Department on college degree attainment. We have a goal for DOD around energy performance of its estate. And then in addition to those goals, which are agency-specific, some of which are joint between agencies, there are these further seven cross-agency mission goals. And then in addition to those, you have eight management goals. That's actually, you know, across an enterprise as complex as the federal government, that's not a very large number. That's about 115 goals across the entire government enterprise, which seems about right for a government doing quite as much as the federal government in terms of complexity.
Yes, because I guess if there's 100 and some, whatever it is, then that's not 117 for each agency. It divides up among them.
Absolutely. You know, these goals are meant to represent the priorities that the administration has defined for itself, and that's about the right number of priorities for an enterprise that is as complex as the federal government.
And so how measurable? I mean, looking at the list of goals, some of them look like you could really measure it with dollars and cents or some unit of counting. Others seem a little bit more nebulous. I'm looking at one like, create new economic opportunities through farming. That would be one for the agriculture. So what's your sense of the measurability of progress on these?
Well, I think most goals are actually possible to measure. Sometimes defining measures is not easy. Sometimes that requires really stopping and thinking about what success looks like, engaging in deep conversations within agencies and across agencies with their stakeholders and others about what moving the needle really means, maybe looking at some other places that have sought to define measures in that space. And I think for me, a good measure is a measure that genuinely matters to the American people. A good measure is one where data is available and it's possible for the agency to use that data to drive better decision making. And a good measure is one where an agency can collect that data without incurring too much cost. Now, I think it's somewhat counterintuitive the number of times where it's possible to drive to come up with good measures. I think that is possible in the vast majority of occasions, and you definitely see some examples here where people have found good measures. So there's a goal on people and culture, and there's a measure on employee engagement, an increase in employee engagement as measured by the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey of 3%. Similarly, there's a measure on the quality of applicants for SES roles. That's a measure where they ask recruiting managers the quality of SES applicants, and there's an increase expected there. I think there are other areas where the government's work is more nascent. So customer service is a new cross-agency goal, and in that area, really, the federal government has done less historically in that space, and a great deal of the work plan that's been published in the last few days talks about the kind of activities that the government would engage in. And I'm hopeful that over time they'll be able to define better measures in that space, because you know, one of the things we've really learned over the last few years is that unless you're clear what your goal is, and unless you're clear that your goal is genuinely measurable and you're tracking towards that and you're holding people to account towards that, it's very difficult to genuinely move the needle. And there's an instinct in government agencies to get focused on activities rather than outcomes. And the whole purpose of this exercise is really to say, if you have clear goals and they define real outcomes, and you can focus your energy on attaining those goals, then you can keep an eye on whether your activities are working or whether they're not, and you can constantly adjust the stream of activities you're conducting in order to maximize your ability to achieve the goal.
We're speaking with Jitinder Kohli. He's a director in Deloitte Consulting's public sector practice. And there's also, though, isn't a risk in setting the goals that might be measurable and related to performance and not to simply activities, but setting them too ambitiously and setting yourself up to not be able to meet them. So how do agencies know what is the right, particular goal for a given activity?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a risk that goals will be set too ambitious, and there's a risk they'll be set too easy. I actually think the second risk is a bigger risk. Certainly from my time working in government, you're always worried that if you fail to achieve something that you promise, then the consequences of doing so can be rather difficult. You can get caught up in front of the legislature, and the media goes for you in public. So there's a natural instinct in government to try and set goals that we believe that we can control, to try and set goals that we believe we can attain. And I think that, that's an absolutely understandable instinct, but what's important is to try and set goals that are genuinely stretching. And so some of the techniques to define good goals would include looking at historic performance and looking at what's likely to occur over the coming years in the absence of any further stretch. So, if the number's been going up 1% a year for the last 3 or 4 years, then you'd expect it to go up 1% a year for the next few years. So a stretch goal might look like a three-year stretch goal might look like a 5% increase or a 4% increase, rather than just a 3% increase, which you'd expect anyway. And really thinking about what the data tells you in terms of expected performance and using that data to help to define a stretching goal, I think is very important. Now, the one thing I'd add to that is sometimes having goals that are extremely stretching can make a real difference. So for me, the most famous example of that is really the goal that President Kennedy set to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade. And, and that goal was, in many ways, absolutely unattainable at the time it was set. And yet it was a goal that drove the government to achieve things that were genuinely quite phenomenal, and a goal that was attained, however impossible it appeared at the time. So from that rather historic example, you now see examples that are similar to that in day-to-day. So, there's a goal at HUD jointly with the VA to end veterans' homelessness. Now, at one level, ending veterans' homelessness feels rather unattainable, and yet it has given such strong focus to the agency that there's been a real acceleration in progress towards reducing veterans' homelessness. So sometimes those extremely stretching goals can just provide enormous focus, and that focus can lead to transformative performance.
And I think what President Kennedy said when he announced that goal in the same speech, he said, "We do this because it's hard, not because it's easy." So I guess.
Absolutely. And I think that is exactly what this exercise is about. If something is a real priority for the federal government, then they have to be the things that are hard. And it's about attaining the things that are genuinely transformative and make a difference to the lives of the American people.
Now, the performance goal and the measurement methodology are not new to this budget. I mean, this is something the administration has been pursuing now since it came in. So looking over the list, is there anything that looks particularly new to you this time around?
So this week's announcement is not a new set of goals. This week's announcement is really a set of action plans that they've published in relation to the 15 cross-agency goals. So the goals themselves, which are available on performance.gov, it takes a little bit of digging in the website to find them, but they're available on performance.gov, are the same as the ones a few months ago. In one or two cases, you're now beginning to see some data on there. These are two-year goals, so they're actually relatively midterm. But what's new is that for these 15 goals that are cross-agency, agencies have now published their action plans. And, some of these action plans are very classic governmental action plans, a list of actions that government agencies will undertake, and in some cases some indicators of where they expect to move the needle. But they are deeply transparent, and I think that's the thing that's of interest this week, is that the federal government is releasing It's releasing for, you know, for its cross-agency goals. It's releasing, you know, clarity about what it will achieve, who's responsible, and when it will be done. And I think that the next step, I think, is really beginning to define clear indicators. And in some cases, they're there. So we talked about the people and culture goal. There are some clear indicators there. In some other areas, the indicators really aren't there yet. So that feels like the next step for the federal government in this space.
And, of course, we have a couple of years to go. There's been 6 years under the belt. How does an administration, how does, say, Sean Donovan, if he gets confirmed as OMB director, prevent the kind of entropy or the late second-term fatigue that agency managers might be feeling at this point? How do you get them to just not wait it out at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So Sean Donovan is obviously a very interesting appointment into the OMB director role. He's somebody who comes with a deep passion for management, and you know, which is not always the case for an OMB director. He's someone who has genuinely demonstrated the value of setting goals in his agency. So, you know, I remember when I was working with HUD a few years ago, they had 5 goals, and you could honestly walk around the halls of the agency, and people would know what goal 3 was, and what goal 1 was, and what goal 2 was. So the agency took on a belief in the goals that it was responsible for. And Sean Donovan personally chaired data-driven reviews, discussions among leaders responsible for attaining goals, in order to determine the progress that had been made, why progress had been made in some areas and why not in other areas, and most importantly, what needs to be done over the next few months in order to enhance performance in that area. So, you know, if he can bring that set of techniques to OMB, and indeed his performance lead is now over at OMB already, Lisa Danzig. So if he can bring that level of those kind of disciplines to OMB and infuse the federal government in a way that agencies are beginning in that area, but HUD was really seen as a bit of a leader. If he can do that, I think that could make an enormous difference. And let's not forget, you know, public sector workers and federal leaders are absolutely in government for one reason. They're in government because they want to make a difference. They're in government because they believe in the power of government to make things better. And what we're really talking about here is defining the ways in which government can do that. What we're talking about is keeping a focus on making a difference and the use of data and information in order to define strategies that really work and make us all proud of what government achieves.
And for those people that are career, do you think there's sufficient incentives in place for them to want to really work hard at these goals?
Yeah, I think, you know, the core incentive is a feeling of pride in your work. And, you know, people who work in the federal government are there because, you know, they care about their work. They care about issues such as public health, or they care about the defense of the nation, or even they care about, you know, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, et cetera. So, you know, people in government care. They wake up in the morning because they want to make a difference. And goals are, and sometimes in the bureaucracy of government, sometimes in, you know, in the day-to-day, you know, paperwork and the day-to-day processes, it's easy to forget the core purpose of what you're trying to do. And what this exercise does is it seeks to reinvigorate people in that space. So, you know, if you're responsible for 20 programs that are seeking to reduce the prevalence of tobacco usage in the U.S., you know, sometimes in the day-to-day, it's about getting the money out of the door in time. On the day-to-day, it's making sure that your program is administered well and your grantees are doing what's expected of them. But actually, it's not about any of those things. Actually, it's about reducing tobacco usage.
Sure.
That has public health outcomes. And so I think this exercise, and I don't think it really matters whether you're at the beginning or the end of an administration, this exercise has to be about saying, you know, whoever's in power in the White House, whoever your secretary is, the purpose of government is to serve the American people and to make a difference to their lives.
All right.
It's about defining the ways in which you can do that.
Jitinder Kohli is a director in Deloitte Consulting's public sector practice. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.